This is Gohan from Dragon Ball Z and Dragon Ball Super, and you're listening to the After Hours Nerds podcast.
But I've changed sides. I'm on the side of the fireworks. If you can't beat them, join them, and I'm
fuck
joining
you.
Them. No, you fuck you. Fuck your house of silence. Fuck your kid, all right? Shoot those fireworks off until August 9th. I don't care.
You know, I can't wait till you have a kid. I'm going to stand outside your goddamn house with a fucking bullhorn.
I hope you do, and I'm going to be there with a pot and pan banging next to his head, too. That kid's going to sleep through an earthquake, okay? Thanks for tuning in to episode 42 of the After Hour Nerd Podcast for the week of July 3rd, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Gags, joined by me for the last time, my co-host, T.A.
Yo, you know, it's kind of fitting because 42 is the meaning of life. It's this episode. It's me.
What is that from?
Fucking 2001 Space Odyssey.
All right, yeah. Or is it Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
Oh, wait, no, that might be it. You're right.
Yeah.
Hitchhiker's
Guide to the Galaxy, I'm pretty sure.
I can't remember.
2001 Space Odyssey is a more serious movie, I think.
Well, yeah, but I could have sworn it. I don't remember. It's been a while since I've read or seen
it. When you said that, because I'm thinking of the big white guy with the white head, giant.
Yeah.
That's Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Right. Yeah, you might be right there. I don't say that too often, but you might be right there.
I'm right all the time.
This is the week of July 3rd. Please follow us on Twitter at @ApocalypseGags, at ApocalypseTA.
Now, hold on. I'm thinking about changing the Twitter handle because at @ApocalypseGags is so long for a Twitter handle, but I don't know what to do. I was thinking at @AHNGags.
Or you could just say,
wanted at @Gags.
You could just drop the oddcast and just make it AHNPGags.
I want to get rid of the P. The problem is I looked up AHN, like the acronym, and apparently it means something else, like All American Honors Nation or something. And everything going on, this looks like we're part of like the NRA or something.
Yeah, we're not those guys. No, dude, we'll just make a Gags and TA.
Gags and I wanted it, I wanted at Gags. I was thinking at just for Gags. You like that? But we'll see.
So what do I make? What should I make mine then?
You could keep it.
No. But I'm saying like
XAHNTA.
XTAX. RIXTAX.
XXTA69XX 401 Blaze It.
How about no? I'll change mine to Let Me See Your TNA.
That's bad. No, with everything going on, definitely don't do that.
Kidding. Oh shit.
What have you been up to this week?
All right, so making my way through Grandia, still having a good time. It's playing out very anime-like.
Yeah,
where you've got
a lot of the JRPGs are though.
It's almost like just an anime plot line where like you've got a guy who's only cares about adventuring. He's 14, so you know, high school student.
Yeah.
So
underage.
And there's a girl.
So anime.
There's a girl literally throwing herself at him, and he's like, "I don't know what you're saying." He goes, "Unless you say the word adventure, it means nothing to me."
Yeah.
It makes no sense. I started megaloboxing. I fucking love
it. The show, not actually participating, right?
Oh, I don't get the gear. I don't get the money for the gear.
Yeah.
But no, the show's good. I'm like 6 episodes in.
I've wanted to start this for a while, especially because of the aesthetic of it. It looks like a 90s anime.
It almost looks like the same people that made Samurai Champloo, which to me, I think they're the same people that made Cowboy Bebop. So
yeah, they are.
So like it looks just like that. But like I'm watching the dub. The dub is good.
Yep.
The fights look amazing. But, the character is good.
Yeah.
I'm just picking up Rocky vibes.
Said this before, though. Anything boxing gives you Rocky vibes? Does Creed give you Roxy
shut
Rocky
up.
Vibes?
I'm hoping that something changes narratively to where, like, I'm like, okay, I don't know, like, how the outcome of this will go.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, as of right now, I think I got an idea.
I have a feeling it's going to end with a boxing match. Spoilers, but That's my guess.
Dude, you can't say that shit on this podcast.
They ruined Xenoblade Chronicles for me. I'm ruining everything for everyone.
And I finished Kaguya-sama season 2.
Do you love it as much? Tell me right now, did you like season 1 better or season 2?
I like season 2 so much better.
Really?
So much better. But if I could, I just feel like the endings should be swapped.
All right, I'll have to take a. I'll let you know when I finish it.
Yeah,
I think I'm 9 episodes into season 2.
Yeah, there's only like a couple more left.
So far, I've liked season 1 way better, but I
really?
Still think they're both like extremely good.
Oh man, I feel like the moments between them are so much more intense in season
really?
2.
Really? Maybe. I don't know. I feel like the new love or the new like feeling was so much like fresher at the time, And now it's kind of like, it's almost like the same horse getting the shit beat out of but it over and over
like,
again.
Like, that's why I'm hoping like they decide to end part of it with them, like someone finally giving in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They never will.
This can't go on forever. This really can't. They're going to graduate at some
point. Ash Ketchum was 10 years old for 22 years. It can go on forever.
Yeah, but dude, they're in high school. And eventually, there's no way they're going to be pulling this shit in Japanese society in their adult lives.
Ash Ketchum was 10 years old for 22 years. They don't ever have to age, all right?
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
Nah, what are you up to?
So I played Smash Bros. I got back in to check out the 8.0 update. I wanted to check out Min Min. So I beat the story mode with her. I beat all her spirits.
How does she play?
She is broken? Weirdly, I don't know, broken because like I don't know how to rank the I pick characters by how much I like them and how fun I have with them. Like one of my favorite characters is Piranha Plant. Everyone says he's trash. I don't know. I like him.
I thought you said he was the most broken character you've ever seen.
No, God, no.
Why do I remember you saying he was broken?
No, he's definitely not broken. In fact, a lot of the pro fighters say he's trash, which breaks my heart, but it is what it is, okay? So I was expecting basically Little Mac, but like, what's Inspector Gadget go-go arms, you know what I mean? So she's not like that at all. She is a completely different fighter than Little Mac.
Really?
She is a lot of fun.
Does she have an up B?
She does.
Does it suck?
It's better than Little Max, if that's what you're wondering, because it is trash.
Yeah.
No, she flings herself in the air, but I think she has one of those up Bs that don't do damage to other people. It's just strictly a recovery.
Yeah.
If you use her down special or her down B, it switches her arm, which gives her a lot of variety, because each arm does something different.
Oh, okay.
Because it has the dragon, which can shoot a laser from it. Wow. It has the megawatt, which is basically just a giant mace.
Yeah.
Or it has the boomerang, where it gives you like...
Kind of hooks around?
Yeah. So it gives you more coverage with it. It is weird too, because you can shoot out one arm and the opponent could like say shield it.
Yeah.
And then you just shoot out the other arm right after. Or you could shoot them out at the same time. It is so weird that she can like do a side or a tilt smash, but still be moving at the same time.
Yeah.
It is odd too that she's a fighting game character in a fighting game, but is like the most unique in a fighting game too. Yeah. And again, it just strengthens the argument that I always make that the DLC characters are just way more fun than the actual just base roster.
Yeah.
Like every DLC character that's been added has like some
their
type of
special.
Fun to them that makes them way more unique than the regular characters added.
Like Hero, they gave Hero his fucking Dragon Quest menu. That's insane.
Joker from Persona gets to summon his persona.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what's the... I always say it though, what the hell is his name? Banjo and Kazooie, they feel like the most normal Smash character. Byleth at least gets like his student's weapons. Yeah. It, like a large arsenal. It just goes to show you how outdated the original 8 or whatever.
Yep.
No, it was more than 8. 12, I think.
Yeah,
characters are. Because barely any of them have had any upgrades since the original, if you think about it.
I mean, realistically, though, like it's been the same roster almost with two or three extra characters between the last like four games.
No. Look at the roster sizes. They grow exponentially.
No, I know they're growing, but like I feel like I've seen...
And they drop some, too, don't forget, in between games. Like Young Link isn't in all of them. Link isn't in all of them.
I guess that's true.
They've dropped a few characters. Like Pichu isn't in all of them. Roy wasn't in all of them. They switched Roy with Ike in Brawl, I believe. So Roy was in the Melee one, drop him after Melee, and then it goes to Ike. And then Smash 4, Roy doesn't come back until he was actually a DLC character.
Yeah, I guess it's been a while since I played some of the older ones. Then I could have sworn they were like just mostly all the same.
No. If you look at it, they like interchange them. That's why this being Ultimate and all the characters coming back is a big deal. Pokemon Trainer? Yeah, they dropped Pokemon Trainer and replaced him with Charizard in the last one, if you remember.
Yeah.
RIP Rock Smash. No longer an attack. and then the other game I checked out this week, and this is basically what I've been playing all week, The Otter Man Empire.
This was the review game, huh?
Review game. Launched July 2nd on PC, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch for $24.99. It's by TriHeart Interactive. They're an independent studio in Manchester, United Kingdom. Before I talk about this game, I have to say that a review code was provided to me for free for review to talk about on the podcast. So anything you I say you can take it with a grain of salt, knowing that I got this game for free. This game is a third-person shooter.
Okay.
I would call it more like a hero shooter light, like Overwatch.
Yeah.
Because each... There are like 10 characters. They're all aquatic-based animals.
Yep.
Like one of them was a turtle with a shotgun. the main one is an otter with dual pistols. There was another otter who's basically... he has a rifle, but it's basically the sniper.
Okay.
There was a large sea otter. I don't know what this animal was, but it was like a large tribal sea otter, and he had a bazooka.
Shit.
There was a crocodile who had boxing gloves, and you can shoot. They were like rocket gloves.
Oh, my God.
All the characters are like ridiculously fun looking.
Yeah.
Well,
before you go into the game,
mm-hmm.
is it worth $30? Or no?
It's $24.99.
Is it worth $25?
So I got to kind of talk about it first so you can see and make that decision for yourself.
Okay.
The thing is, there's no... So, like, the bad... I'll get the bad out of the way after I explain it. But third-person shooter, hero light shooter, I would call it. It's very, like, very light Overwatch, kind of. Even each character has their own special move, almost like Ultimate with Overwatch when they have their ultimate. It's broken into two main game modes, story mode versus mode. Single player is pretty lackluster. It is fun, but it like story-wise, it's lacking. You are against an evil otter scientist named Tico. There are cutscenes that have very slightly janky animations, but there's no voice acting when it feels like there should be voice acting.
Yeah.
Or even there's no dialogue, so there's no like subtitles or nothing.
Oh, so like just like in-game graphics that are doing cutscenes.
Yeah,
with,
and
like very little sound.
Very little sound effects too. There's just constantly this like evil laugh that does not sound like it belongs, but it's clearly Tico laughing.
Yeah.
So it's broken into, and I'm almost done with the game. I think I'm on the last level, maybe the second last level. I forget exactly where I am, but I'm very close to the end.
Yep.
They're broken into levels, and then each level is three stages. Each stage is 3 minutes. They're time-based, different objectives. Depending on how well you do that assigned objective, you get points.
Okay.
Now, when you do the objectives and you're getting the points, there are stars associated with the points. So you can get 1 to 3 stars per mission.
Okay.
And then each level is locked by having an amount of stars. So you need to get at least, say, 16 stars to get to level 5.
Yeah, okay. So basically, you're better off just trying to get all the stars you can.
Like doing
the mission as best you can.
Yeah, you have to. Sometimes you have to replay the same mission to get the third star you might have missed on because you only got the second.
Like that's kind of like the mobile games kind of thing where it's, you know, like Angry Birds.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly. Now, there's a wide variety of missions, time-based, so it is fun, but the multiplayer is where it actually is, like... That is the bulk of this game.
Yep.
It is a shame that I've noticed I could only get into multiplayer when I had multiple people. Like, I could not play against just AI.
Oh, really?
Which I think is why they were pretty much strong-armed into putting the story mode. That feels like it was kind of rushed in.
Yeah.
The story mode is also just variants of the multiplayer modes.
Okay.
But twisted slightly to be, like, a single-player objective. But you can do the story mode co-op, too.
Oh, okay.
You can do the story mode with up to 3 of your friends.
Okay.
So 4 players. Yeah. But again, the multiplayer is really where it's designed because this game was designed for couch co-op, and you can tell. There's no online play. It's couch co-op only.
Oh, wow. Okay.
They wanted you to be in that split screen. It is the transversal because every player has a jetpack.
Yep.
Super fast. Once you get – because after a couple games, I finally got the controls down, and it clicks, and it works really well.
The controls are tight.
They are janky, but you get it.
Yeah.
It feels like I'm playing... It is so nostalgic of playing, like, Donkey Kong 64, the multiplayer mode in that. Conker's Bad Fur Day multiplayer.
Gotcha.
They had multiple game modes because it's not just, like, Deathmatch. It's, like, Squidditch, which is, like, a shooter dunking contest, which is hard to explain. But that was fun. There's Target Range, Detonator, Battery Ranker, King of Hill, Repair Robot, Bombardment, and Hoop Dive. It's just a wide variety to play with your friends that'll keep you playing.
Yep.
So when you say, is this worth $24.99? The graphics are nothing special, but they are colorful and
they're bright.
Yep. And I liked it.
Yeah.
I played this on the Nintendo Switch. I did look up screenshots of the Xbox One and the PC version. Way better looking.
Yeah.
It looks 10 times better on that, I have to say. So especially if you're buying this on the Xbox, I would say it has great graphics.
Yep.
Cartoony and fun. If you have friends who will come to your house to play games, like if you have that group of friends,
yep,
this is easily worth the $24.99. I can say that right now. If you have a Switch Lite and that would be your one way of playing it by yourself, I don't know if I can recommend it.
Okay.
If you have friends, I could see this becoming one of your like party game staples when okay. you have friends.
Really?
Over. No, like this is, it is like fun.
That's a pretty bold statement.
Right. But like it could go in there with, all right, you played a couple hours of Mario Kart, you played a couple hours of this.
Yep.
Three of my friends want to, even if you have like two or three, because yeah. it's got a wide variety of game modes, colorful cast of characters, all work differently.
Yep.
It could easily get competitive.
Favorite character?
I think I like Bubbles. He's a fish inside of a robotic body, and he nice. Has like a turret hand.
Nice.
I do like the fact too, since you, I think the characters all shoot water, so the way you regain your ammo or recharge your jetpack is they have like, there's no ammo packs. It's riverbeds throughout the levels.
Yeah, so you like you gotta
you have to swim through them.
Oh wow.
Yeah, and you can hide in it too. Like you go under.
Okay.
So it even has like clever game. Like gameplay mechanics.
Yep.
If you are a single player person, I don't think this is for you. If you are the party house game place,
yep.
This is one of the games you need to include in your library for sure.
Okay, wow.
I think this is also TriHeart Interactive's first game that they released. They're a small independent yeah. company when I looked them up.
So not
they
a,
should be extremely proud of yeah, what they made.
Not a bad game to start
oh,
with.
Oh yeah, right? No. I think it's a fun one. I have seen people enjoy the single player more than I am, but
that's good.
Yeah. I think what they really need to add is at least AI, controlled characters for the multiplayer.
Yeah.
So even if you're by yourself, you can get into those game modes. But other than that, maybe online, I don't think you need it. If they designed it for couch co-op.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with the exclusion of online, but
because,
I think
because it does have co-op.
Yeah. But other than that, I have enjoyed my time with it so far. Yeah, two thumbs up. Podcast poll for the week. Halfway through the year, so what is your game of the year for 2020? I put The Last of Us Part II, Final Fantasy VII Remake.
That's my vote.
I knew it immediately. I was going to put TA No Voting Allowed. Animal Crossing New Horizons and Doom Eternal. Final Fantasy VII Remake. Took 50% of the votes, basically. We had a couple write-in votes. Persona 5 Royal, people wanted that one. And Minecraft Dungeons was the other one. I didn't even think of Minecraft Dungeons, although I've heard nothing but good things about Minecraft
yeah.
Dungeons. Persona 5 Royal is technically the highest Metacritic-rated game that released this year. I just don't...
With what? Like a 90?
Like a 98. Right, really? Like, damn it, perfect. Yeah,
I bet if it wasn't the 100 hours of gameplay you got to put into it, it probably would have got 100.
Well, so the reason I left it off is because technically an enhanced port, I guess,
yeah,
of
another game. Yeah.
So I was like, it's kind of cheating. I understand it has extra content. I also don't really care. So if that is your game of the year, that's fair.
Yeah.
I picked Animal Crossing New Horizons for me, but I totally expected Final Fantasy VII Remake. I was expecting The Last of Us Part II to do a little bit better.
Yeah, but
with like recency bias.
That game is insanely divisive right now.
Are you going to play it?
Yeah, I just don't know when. But at some point, I do plan on playing it just because I'm curious to know. Like, I'm curious to know which opinion I've heard
yep.
makes the most sense with what the game has to offer.
Yep.
Because I've heard that.
The only opinion that matters is yours. You're welcome. Listen, the internet is like assholes. Everyone has an opinion, and they all stink.
I was just about to say this.
Yep.
Fucking ass.
All right, let's take a quick little break, and we'll be back with the news. And we're back with the news. Microsoft's second next-gen Xbox reportedly set for August reveal from Tom Warren on TheVerge.com.
Price tag, question mark?
No. No, I think in August you kind of have to.
You would think.
A leaked Microsoft document recently hinted at the company's second next-gen Xbox, and now rumors suggest it will be fully revealed in August. Eurogamer reports that Microsoft had originally planned to unveil the console codenamed Lockhart in June, Microsoft has now reportedly moved these plans to August, and Eurogamer claims the console will be named the Xbox Series S. Pretty sure we all expected that.
Yep.
Microsoft had been working on the second cheaper next-gen Xbox console for months. A Microsoft document leaked last week shed some further light on the company's plans. Microsoft's Xbox Series X dev kit, codenamed Dante, allows game developers to enable a special Lockhart mode that has a profile of the performance that Microsoft wants to hit with the second console. While we've been reporting this performance includes a slightly underclocked CPU, The Verge has seen additional documents that suggest Lockhart will actually have the same speed CPU as the Xbox Series X.
That's what I've been seeing all week.
Mm-hmm. The Lockhart console will also include 7.5 gigabytes of usable RAM and around 4 teraflops of GPU performance.
What the fuck?
I don't know. I don't know.
What the fuck's a teraflop?
I have a 6 what's inch.
What's a gigaflop? What's a microflop?
7.8 gigawatts is all you need. All right. So basically, I'm not even going to read the rest of the specs. The second console is designed as a more affordable option. That's the belief.
But like, it's just crazy that it's almost gonna. From what they say, it's like 95% as powerful, if not 100% as powerful as the mainline console.
So everyone online keeps talking about that this cheaper model is still supposedly stronger than the PS5. I don't know how the inners work like that.
Yeah.
But like, where's the thing?
Does it matter if it is?
But if they're saying that it's this almost as powerful as the regular Xbox Series X,
yep.
We already knew that it was more powerful than the PS5. Like they claimed that
right.
From the beginning, but ultimately that doesn't really matter if there's not a good library to support it.
Right. I have a feeling this would be closer to the basically diskless drive version of the Xbox.
Yeah.
I mean, we are going to get Halo Infinite at launch. I know that. That's going to be a system seller regardless.
Yeah.
There's the rumors now spinning around that a new Fable will be there at launch as well. I don't know, because the last one sucked dick, so who knows. I would say Xbox, or Microsoft, I guess, has dropped the ball lately. If you remember, in May, they said they were doing this Summer of Gaming, where each month would include some type of Xbox news.
Yeah.
June just passed. They didn't have any.
Nice.
So the second month
kicking it off.
They already didn't have anything. I don't care if you're telling me that this was supposed to originally be revealed in June,
yeah.
And it got delayed to August. Replace it with any other bit of... give us a 2-minute trailer of Halo, for all I care. Do something. If you promise the month before that
yeah.
You are going to have new information every goddamn month and you already miss month two, it already looks bad for you.
Dude, there's got to be a real... like, there's got to be a reason why they're trying to blackball us and like not give us a single thing and not give us a price and not give us...
Well, no one's giving us a price.
But I'm saying, like, I'm saying everybody.
Yeah.
Clearly, this shit is either too powerful and it's gonna break, or it's not powerful enough and they know that they're gonna lose money.
It's a DeLorean.
it's a DeLorean.
I don't know. It's just like
you built a time machine out of a DeLorean.
All right. So next news story: Summer Game Fest demo event coming July 21st to Xbox One near you. This is by Glenn Gregory Sr. This is the product marketing manager at ID at Xbox.
So you know it's real.
This is straight from Xbox. This isn't off of some like media website. If you've been lucky enough to attend E3, PAX, Gamescom, or another show in the past, you know that above and beyond the spectacle of these shows, one of the great joys of attending a marquee gaming event is being able to get your hands on games. Lots of games. Getting to try them out early and discover lots of new games is awesome. While we can't recreate the experience of attending a big show entirely, we can help you get your hands on lots of cool new games early. As announced by Jeff Keighley as part of Summer Games Fest, Xbox is proud to reveal that our Summer Games Fest demo event will be live on Xbox One from July 21st to July 27th. We'll have more than 60 brand new game demos for upcoming unreleased Xbox games available to check out for free. Look for the special game Fest demo tile on Xbox One dashboard that week to find the collection of available demos. They also put these little caveat, a few things to keep in mind. These are not normal game demos. Typically, the demos you see in our demo channel are created after the game is completed or nearly completed and represent the final version. Many of these demos are early, and some are games that won't be out for quite some time. We've never done this before. What that means is you'll get to experience these games early, some way early, which is awesome, but you should also note that these games will continue to evolve and be polished as they near release. These demos will only be on the Xbox dashboard for 1 week. Some might be republished to the demo channel later, but mainly will simply evaporate at the end of the week. The developers would love to hear what you think. Hit them up on social media or through their websites if you like the game. Tell them. If you have constructive criticism, they would love to hear that.
Constructive criticism on the internet? Does he
your game sucks.
Does he know what he's signing his fucking development teams up for? Jesus.
So, after I just bashed Microsoft, why the hell didn't you use this for your June
dude,
news?
Dude, I was literally thinking this. Like, why didn't they... Like, they had all
this
time...
This was a perfect...
They had all this time to come up with this fucking statement, but yet they couldn't just do it for the month of the release?
Use this as your June news, because this is cool. This is... After I just bashed him, I have to admit, this is awesome.
Yeah, being able to play, like, and just being able to see, like, how it changes.
Well, not only, or, like, so get these kind of experiences, you could, the only way you ever get these experiences is if you attend these.
Yeah.
Now you don't have to.
That's fucking.
And this is, again, something Microsoft has that Sony doesn't. So why didn't you just goddamn use this as your news for that month? It's God. But, I don't know.
Why aren't you the president of Microsoft? I don't fucking know.
I'm telling you, man. Phil Spencer.
Yo, can we, Microsoft, I would like to formally submit an application for a new marketing manager, Gags.
You're right, though. The internet is going to rip some of these games apart.
Dude, it's not even going to be, like, we're going to play a demo, like, this feels like an unfinished game. Like, yeah. That's because it is, pal.
But I hope they adopt this tactic moving forward. I hope more companies do this. I mean, I've heard of betas and things like that, but some of these are going to be early builds.
Like, but like, and like, that's fine, you know, and like, because it'll be... Because, like, it'd be cool to know that, like, maybe your idea helped make the game better.
Yep.
Or maybe it'll suck to know that you fucking killed a possible franchise.
Yeah. Dude, we just stabbed it in the heart right there. This will actually result in me turning on my Xbox other than to play Fortnite with the boys. Swear to God, that's the only reason I ever turn it on now. I'm gonna love to check these out. 60 games for free. Yeah, I understand.
That's
and you
nuts.
Only got a week.
That's nuts. But, like, dude, you... You don't like just try them for like 10 minutes.
That's I guarantee for you most of these demos are only going to be like 10 minutes anyways.
And if some reason they're longer, you'll get the gist in like 5 minutes.
It's going to be cool to see like which ones are like the standouts too.
Yeah.
Cuz those games will then pick up some traction I bet until their launch.
Those games are going to get fucking backlogged. Backburnered, and you're gonna be like, "What happened to that great game?" And you're gonna be like, "I don't know what you're talking about."
The backlog is getting ridiculous. Did you see the game that came in for me this month that I didn't even this week?
Cold Steel 3?
I had to look it up to be like, "Did I even order this?" Yeah, they charged my card. Apparently, I ordered it in like end of February.
Dude, that is hilarious because like you didn't even pick the first game; you picked the third one.
I don't know. So apparently, I pre-ordered it in February. And I guess it just came out because it came with a piece of paper that said street date 6:30.
Do you just black out when you go on these binge game buying sales?
I don't allow myself to go to Amazon.
Like, do you wake up with your Switch in one hand, your credit card in the other? You're like, oh my god, what did I do last night?
No,
text your girlfriend. She's like, don't even talk to me right now. You spent so much money and you.
No, I got it right, and I'm like, what the hell is this? Like, I didn't order anything. I open it, and it. I'm like, I don't know if I ordered.
To be fair,
this.
I didn't know about the series until we got on Twitter to do this. But like, I follow a few guys that are like, Trails of Cold Steel is the greatest JRPG series of all time.
We all have that.
Which is why I'm like, how have I never heard about it until now?
Because I'll sit here and say Xenoblade Chronicles is the best. You'll sit there and say Final Fantasy because you're a basic bitch. You get your Starbucks.
I don't look at $5.99 to ditch up for Starbucks. You sack of shit. I didn't go to college. I didn't make those engineering.
You did
bucks.
Go to college.
You're right. I didn't finish college. I didn't make those engineering bucks. 2K breaks gaming's de facto $60 ceiling. Ask for $70 for next gen NBA 2K21. Inflation has eroded big budget gaming $60 standard for about 15 years now. By Kyle Orland at Ars Technica. A new generation of video game consoles may come with a new standard price point for big-budget games. That's the impression 2K Games is giving, at least, with today's announcement that the Xbox Series X and PlayStation 5 versions of NBA 2K21 will come in an MSRP of $69.99. That price point is $10 higher than the $59.99 asking price for the Xbox One and PS4 version of the same game, which are due to launch September 4th. An NBA 2K spokesperson confirmed to Ars Technica that the premium pricing is based on what it sees as the increased value represented by the power of new consoles. When asked whether the $69.99 price point represented a new standard for 2K's console games, the representative kept the focus squarely on today's pricing decision. 2K suggested retail prices for its games are meant to represent the value being offered, the rep said. With nearly endless replay value and many new additions and improvements only possible on next-generation consoles, we believe our updated suggested retail price fairly represents the value of NBA 2K21. 2K also confirmed that NBA 2K21 won't be supporting Microsoft's Xbox Smart Delivery System, which lets players buy a game once and download versions across multiple console generations. That said, 2K is offering a $99.99 Mamba Forever edition for NBA 2K21, which includes a current generation version and a download code to upgrade to a next generation version in the future.
So, here's, do you think we're finally going to see the jump?
It's about time.
It is. When do you think the last time was that video games have increased their base chart? Like
somewhere in the 90s, right?
2002.
2002. Okay. So
2002, they raised the price from $50 to $60. So yeah. It's been about 18 years.
Yep.
Video games have not gotten cheaper to make in those 18 years. Nope. In fact, they've gotten
way more expensive.
Way more expensive.
Well, especially as the technology gets better, the game's gonna cost more. You can't. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're cutting.
Well,
corners.
There's more to it. There's music now, licensed music.
Yep.
Voice acting. They use what is it? The when they put those stupid little body suits on people.
Oh, with the fucking
mocap.
Yep.
There's all different things that go into video games now that
game
didn't
capture all that type of shit.
Everything.
Yeah.
So people are gonna be pissed, but I think it's about time.
And you know what? It's a next-gen console. Like, it's fair to expect.
Yep.
My only thing about it is I hope – I'm really curious what it means about the value of 2K21 because, in my honest opinion, after, like, 2K14 onward, it's been fucking garbage.
Yeah, but I play them, and I still think they're fine.
Yeah. I don't know. To me, the playing against your friends is fine. The Maya player just seems to be getting worse.
Worse and worse, yeah. No, I agree.
It's way too story elemented, and like I can't throw a pass now without getting picked.
You're trash. That's like you blame the game, but you're trash.
In 2K11, the controls are perfect. I could pass.
Perfect.
No, dude, they were perfect.
You're the same guy who told me you would throw Hail Marys in Madden every play, and now you
can't.
Dude,
in 2K4, you could fucking do that, and it was beautiful. It was perfect. I'm just worried about Damian Lillard. And Zion Williamson, because they're going to be on the cover.
Who was on the cover last year? Isn't that just the Madden curse?
Think about it. Paul George was on the cover, snapped his leg. Kevin Durant was on the cover, snapped his leg. Derrick Rose was on the cover, tore his ACL. Blake Griffin was on the cover, broke his shin. I think Paul...
Well, that's what you get for jumping so high and then landing.
The only guy who survived is LeBron.
He's God. You can't kill
Anthony,
God.
Anthony Davis got hurt that season. He was on the cover.
But the problem is they put like 9 different athletes on the cover now,
dude,
too.
It's a big conspiracy, man. They're just trying to take them all down. So I'm saying, like, Lillard's going to go down this season.
Nah, you can't kill Dame Dalla.
If Corona doesn't get him, his legs are going to give out.
Yeah, well,
Zion's career is just blooming, and it's going to go right down the shitter.
Nah, he's too young. He's too young and big. He already had his injury.
Did you see the Mamba covers?
Yeah.
They look dope.
I think it's way too early to do the Mamba edition.
Nah, dude.
It feels like a cash grab.
Dude, it's totally grabbing off his death, but like...
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, no, I agree. I understand.
If Magic Johnson dies tomorrow, then 2K22 is going to be his
100%,
game.
100%. Yeah. I agree.
Whichever big-time player dies next is going to be his game next.
Do you think the $10 increase will defer people from upgrading to a new console if they know that they can hold off and still get... Because, like, if you think about it, most of the new games coming out, they'll make, like, a...
Yeah, they'll make an older version copy.
Yep.
Yeah. So, but I mean, like...
Because now you have to pay this, we'll say, $500 up front to get the new console. And now you're paying also an additional $10 more for...
Here's the thing. Regular gamers like you and me, it won't affect that much in the sense that you and I can just keep our PS4 mm-hmm. and our Xbox One for a while and play mm-hmm. the new older versions and, like, still get the gist of the game. But, like, streamers and people who, like, review daily and, like, for professional...
Well, they're going to get that shit for free, I bet. Most of it. talking about like just the everyday average consumer.
Maybe not the stream. The consumer is probably gonna have like eventually when they're finally out of luck and they need to buy a new system, they're gonna have no choice but to buy.
Well, I mean, we are too. Like, you know, like when
but, $70 is not that bad, especially if they're.
I think it's warranted.
No, it's fair.
Yeah,
but like. These games, it's not like they're designed to be like you run and done in like a couple hours. Like these games are gonna hopefully have replay value.
Hopefully, we're putting a lot of hope here.
How about this? Hopefully, some of these games don't come out during the next quarantine, so that way people don't burn through them in five fucking days.
One of the big talks on the internet is saying, all right, now that we increase the price $10, we will no longer see like DLC or loot boxes.
That's never going away.
Yeah, any way they can make more money, they're gonna do it.
Dude, whichever fucker was like, "Hey, let's give them 90% of the game and make the fun parts shit you have to buy." That dude is a god in the gaming world.
Yeah, he knew what he was doing.
That dude is richer than the rest of the world put together.
Well, whoever invented Fortnite was the smartest person, because they like, I just went on today to buy a new outfit and I haven't played the game in probably 2 months.
That's fucking sad.
Well, it was a Captain America outfit for July.
For fuck's sake. Yeah, they totally nerfed that ass, right?
They nerfed America's ass, man. Hyperscape brings fresh ideas to a crowded battle royale arena from Chris Holt over at Polygon.com. Ubisoft is jumping into the battle royale arena with Hyperscape. It's futuristic, first person take on the genre. You can try it on PC today as part of a technical test, as long as you're lucky enough to receive a Twitch drop. It'll be available on PS4 and Xbox One at a later date. You can play solo or in teams of three, and there'll be up to 100 players in each match. You can revive your teammates by taking out other players. A respawn beacon will appear by a downed enemy. If you're eliminated, you can still play an active role in your squad's success. You'll go into an echo form in which you'll be able to scout ahead and ping things of interest for your teammates. All the core battle royale genre hallmarks are here. Matches start with players dropping into a virtual city, a Neo Arcadia, and scavenging for gear and weapons. The play area shrinks over time as map sectors deteriorate, forcing players closer together until one team is left standing. Ubisoft Montreal actually developed the game in partnership with Twitch, and viewers can get in on the action in other ways. They can impact the game directly if streamers are using the Crowncast extension. Streamers can use that to share details about their loadouts and in-game stats, and viewers can vote for events that affect all players in a match, such as enabling low gravity, granting infinite ammo, or revealing player locations. Nowadays,
how are you feeling about this?
So nowadays, games that are successful are widely dependent on how much they're picked up by the streaming community.
Yeah.
So when you are now putting in a way for the viewer and the streamer to interact,
yeah,
you're building that bridge for success.
Yep.
It's a weird idea, but if this hits, get ready to see this implemented in more games.
Oh yeah.
And in a rapid succession.
Oh yeah.
Don't think Fortnite's already working on a patch to do this too.
They have to be doing it. Same thing with Apex, right?
I like the idea that you can randomly fuck up the level on people and be like, all right, low gravity for everyone. As long as it's not like you weaken one person and overpower another.
Yeah, but it's some fucked up.
Yeah, like if you could, say, flood the map on them.
Yeah.
That's a cool idea. Things like that.
Just take away all the cover.
Well, that's the locations. It's going to allow everyone to see locations. This is also a more unique battle royale because it's not based on just like surviving. It seems to be heavily dependent on fast speed transversal combat.
Yeah.
It's like parkour shooting.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I love the layout. It looks like Neo Paris. It has to be Paris. I'm pretty sure. If you watch the trailer, it's basically Paris.
Okay.
But it's like futuristic Neo.
Yeah.
It looks awesome. I tried to get a Twitch drop. I didn't know how to do it. Didn't work. I have a Mac. I don't think it would have worked anyways. But I'm going to throw my name in the hat. I don't care. No, I think this...
Hey, man. Our 28 listeners would love that, man.
I tried, man. Valorant and this are like two of the newer games where I'm like, I would actually be interested in trying this.
Please. let the After Hours podcast take care of you guys.
They'll take care of me in the Twitch chat, right? Unlimited ammo. No, yeah, I'm excited. You don't care about Battle Royale at all, though, right?
I don't know. It's never like I'm. You know me. I've been terrible at shooters my whole life.
Oh yeah, me too. I'm going to have fun.
But like, see, like I never had fun because like. I lost my interest after like Gears 2, especially when you and D. Wilding were all about KD and like I could never keep up.
Yeah.
So I was just like, fuck it. Then
we were big Kevin Durant fans.
Yeah. But then what really killed it for me is like I fucking bought Call of Duty 3 just as like we played like two matches together and then you guys
bought it
all
months after it came out.
But I fucking bought it. You guys yeah, but you guys were still texting every fucking night in the group chat. You guys were like, yo, you can hop it on COD. I was like, all right, fine, it's time for me to buy it. And you guys were like, oh man, I'm really not feeling that game anymore. I was like, are you fucking kidding? I just dropped $60.
Whose fault was that, man? All right.
Fuck. So like I did think it was weird though how like it just like once Fortnite was like a battle royale, like every PUBG
started it. True. Don't forget, yeah. Fortnite started as a different game.
Yeah, I know. It was like just a fucking
save the night. It was a base builder.
Yeah. Still, but like, well, PUBG may have started it, but I think Fortnite cemented it.
Oh yeah, yeah. Fortnite is still the biggest game I would argue ever now.
Yeah.
Behind Tetris and maybe what's the biggest like phone game in the world? Angry Birds.
Battle Royale just became the thing, and if your game did have a Battle Royale, then
yeah, almost everyone does a Battle Royale now. It's the only way to keep up.
That shit doesn't really interest me that much.
Evo 2020 canceled after Mortal Kombat Street Fighter pullout
by Brian Lawyer on Screen Rant. Hey, at least they
wear a condom.
Their pullout game is strong. EVO Online is officially canceled after major developers and players dropped out following accusations of sexual misconduct by CEO Joey Queller.
Yeah.
Dumb motherfucker. The EVO Online fighting game tournament has been canceled after several games, including Mortal Kombat 11 and Street Fighter V, plus prominent members of the fighting game community pulled their support from the tournament. Developers and competitors removed themselves from the event following allegations of misconduct against EVO CEO Joey Queller. I don't know how to say his fucking name. The past few weeks have been seeing allegations of sexual misconduct come to light in all corners of the game industry. Some of the most recent allegations come from the fighting game community. EVO CEO Queller stands accused of sexually exploiting the members of the community, including minors. While not directly related to EVO, several prominent competitive Super Smash Bros. Players were separately accused of sexual assault against minors over the past few days. Once news of the allegations against Queller went public, prominent names began dropping out of the EVO Online, the event that was meant to replace the in-person EVO 2020 after it was canceled due to coronavirus concerns. One of the first to speak up was Dominique Sonic Fox McLean, a star of the competitive fighting game scene, who announced on Twitter that they would no longer be taking part in EVO Online. By the end of the day, developers and publishers began announcing on Twitter that they would not participate in the event. Capcom, NetherRealm, and Bandai Namco were among the biggest companies to pull out, leaving a substantial hole in the tournament schedule. Shortly thereafter, EVO Online was officially canceled.
So EVO Online was supposed to run July 31st to August 2nd. It was the replacement for EVO this year.
Yep. I remember we talked about that a couple weeks ago.
Yep. Immediately after this had happened, like, this happened so fast this week.
Dude, it happened so fast, I didn't understand what was even going on. Like, there was just so much information flying. I didn't know.
There was so many accusations
I didn't know where to base it. Like, I didn't know where to, I didn't know where to start.
So, the CEO was already gone. They've already kicked him to the curb, rightfully so. Yeah, right?
Piece of shit.
They are canceling EVO Online. They're going to look into things. They're going to basically review their guidelines, update them, figure out a way. There's so many minors being sexually assaulted at this event, apparently. It's you got to do something. You can't either.
How is this happening? How is it? First off, not only how did it happen? How has it been happening?
Because, first off, I think it's tough as a young male to come out and say you were sexually assaulted because
it's extremely tough.
You know, I mean, it's tough for anyone.
Yeah.
First off, but as a male, you get sexually assaulted, you feel almost emasculated to even. Yeah. Admit it, you know. So I believe it.
Well, think about it. As you know, as a young man, you're taught to hold in all your pain, mm-hmm. all your problems, until eventually you bottle up and either you explode or you.
Right.
You know what I mean, so like, how do you take something so traumatic and just find a way to cope with that? Especially, mm-hmm. especially in the toxicity of all these communities. Yeah. There's no fucking way.
over this week, I was looking at it. It was over 50 professional Smash players are being accused of some type of sexual abuse or misconduct. Some of them with minors. You're putting
insane.
All
insane.
Yep.
Well, fucking insane.
Because think about it. It's like a whole week, this event. You're traveling to go there. So now you have a hotel room. Parents probably aren't going with you. Now you're just trusting these kids together. And younger adults, and it's a shame. It's a shame that older people are preying on younger people in general. The allegations get worse and worse the more you read it.
As a parent, I don't know if I can handle it. I really don't.
With Evo canceled this year, this is very bad negative press. I don't know if it will return, which is crazy to say because it's the biggest fighting game tournament.
The year, dude. I don't know, how do you come back from this? How do you say, oh, we're going to fix it? There's no fixing because it's been how long do you think it's been happening?
Years.
Years.
Some of the accounts I was reading go back to 2012.
See, that's way too fucking long to come back from.
So I say that, but I feel like you have a whole internal almost rebrand or new hires. You put in new people in a position.
You can slap a fucking brand new sticker on a piece of shit car, and it's still a piece of shit car. You know what I mean?
I know, but it's still the biggest fighting tournament of the year.
If some new group mm-hmm. builds a tournament out of this one's ashes.
If they come out with new guidelines that they show that will result in player safety, and they can clearly state them and show them, and these are the action items we will be following.
Like, I wouldn't be surprised though if half the players won't be able to return. Say they're all underage. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, yeah. Like, I think like they're going to have to put...
Parents are going to pull the fucking plug on something.
100%. I think you're going to have to put in, like, a minimum age, too.
Hell yeah. Like
almost 17 or 18 at this point.
There's no way he's going younger than that.
It's a tough story, and if you look into it, it just gets tougher to look at.
You know, like, gaming is fun. Gaming is meant to help people escape. Gaming is supposed to help, like... You know, it has gotten way too toxic over the years, but like gaming is supposed to be a thing you can enjoy,
mm-hmm.
and especially in tournaments, like to where you can, because we always like to talk trash to each other.
Yeah,
we love to, see who's the best, and to have this shit happen and just set all of that back.
Yeah,
just so fucked up.
It's, I'm waiting to see what their new plan. It's gonna be a while. They just canceled the online event.
Yeah.
So it's going to be months before you hear what their new plan is or what anything is. I know they have I don't even think they have like a new CEO currently. They just have like an acting CEO currently. Because everything's moved so fast.
You know, and like, if that guy hasn't done anything wrong, then, the boat is sinking. And they're like, you're the captain now. Like, that fucking sucks.
Yeah, well, it is what it is.
Call out your employees. Like, call out your coworkers if they're fucking pieces of shit.
Mm.
Get them fired. Stop the shit if you see it happen.
But it's just rampant throughout right now. No, it's workers. It's competitors. It's
nothing's right, man. Nothing's right.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Seth Rogen to produce CG animated movie reboot by Jim Vigivoda on IGN.com. Seth Rogen is among the producers bringing the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles back to the big screen. A CG animated feature film reboot titled simply Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was announced Tuesday by Nickelodeon. Point Grey Pictures, the production company run by Rogan, Evan Goldberg, and James Weaver, will produce along with Nickelodeon Animation Studio in the latter's first ever CG theatrical production. Paramount Pictures will distribute the film. Rogan is no stranger to producing adaptation of comic book properties, as he's also brought Preacher and the Boys to life on the small screen. The animated TMNT movie reboot will be directed by Jeff Rowe from Gravity Falls, Connected, Disenchantment, and will be written by Brendan O'Brien, Neighbors, Sorority Rising, Mike and Dave Knee Wedding Dates.
Wait, he produced Preacher and the Boys?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that at all. Here's the thing. I don't know if we need a new TMNT movie, because I feel like one just drops like mm-hmm. every 3 years, four years.
I think this is based on the Nickelodeon series too.
So like,
who cares, right?
Yeah. If you have like, I remember like the cartoon when we were kids was cool. I remember the first live action movie is still, I think, still holds up.
Yeah. Aren't there a few of them?
There's
one where they go back in time and meet a female Ninja Turtle.
No, that's the second. I don't remember if that's I know there's a fifth Ninja Turtle who is a girl, but I don't remember. I think that's the second one. I think then she goes her own separate way or something, and then the third one they go back in time. The only reason I know that is because AVGN sliced the video in half because he hated it so much.
Aggressive.
But effective.
I mean, the last CG movie I remember Seth Rogen working on is if you ever look up the backstory of it, apparently he was awful to work for. Sausage Party.
Oh my god.
If you remember that film, that movie was terrible too.
Here's the thing, I've never seen that film.
Yeah, do yourself a favor and don't.
I've seen the clips. I don't need to see the film.
Yeah. This is when I was first saw it, I was like, oh, this is cool. They're bringing TMT back. Then I saw CG animated. I was like, yeah, no doubt. They were animated in the Michael Bay series that they did too.
Yeah.
And then I realized, no, it's based on the Nickelodeon one. And I was like, all right, now I'm totally out and don't care.
Yeah, because we haven't caught up with that series. Plus, there's a new series on Nickelodeon every other year.
I expect it to be basically a quality of a very long animated.
Yeah.
I will say, though, that if Brendan O'Brien is writing it, because my girlfriend saw Neighbors, said she loved it. I've seen Mike and Dave in Wedding Dates. I thought that movie was hilarious.
I thought it was all right. Neighbors is hilarious.
I still have never seen either one of them.
Wow.
And Disenchantment I thought was good.
Gravity Falls I saw the first episode of.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get much.
It has pretty high praise, the show.
I know it does, I think it's one of those ones where it's way too kid in the first season. The first couple episodes to where, I'm not getting to, the more adult theme stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, at some point I'll give it more of a chance, but, it's got a good team. So, it should do well.
Yeah, but there are so many films that have good teams
I know.
Square Enix will announce several new titles between July and August by Liam Doolan on NintendoLife.com. That's kind of funny.
That was really good.
That's what I get.
Was really good. I hope Liam Doolan hears this and says, fuck this guy.
I'm honestly sorry, man. No. I just think because of Nintendo Life doing Square Enix stuff. While we're already seeing broadcasts and presentations for Pokemon and publishers like EA, there's still more to come. Ubisoft is hosting its own online event.
Do you need me to step in? Do you want to tag me in? This is your last episode. You're blowing it, kid.
Oh, my God.
Online event.
There's so much sugar.
On 12th July, that's what you wrote, pal. On the 12th of July, but what about the Japanese giant Square Enix? During a stockholders meeting this week, the third-party company said it would instead be announcing new titles individually between July and August. There were already reports in May about Square Enix ditching its E3 replacement show, and this makes it official. Here is the full exchange, courtesy of No Life.
Sorry, I think it's a Japanese magazine.
I didn't know if that was short for something else,
number.
Or North. Question: normally, would you announce new games at E3? But how has coronavirus affected your plans this year? Answer: we would normally announce new games at E3. Yes, we had planned to have a press conference as a replacement event, but were unable to do so since assets were not complete. We'll be announcing new titles individually as timing permits. Several will debut around July to August.
So,
I've already seen people speculate after they said this that Project Athia, the one that they showed at the is actually the code name demo for
Final Fantasy 16.
Yeah.
I know the team that's writing it. I will tell you right now, there's not a shot in hell that that's Final Fantasy 16. I have seen games reporters say it had started originally as Final Fantasy 16, and they, after kind of it got somewhat into development, they realized, no, this cannot be Final Fantasy 16. It doesn't look like it. I feel like Final Fantasy itself, in its recent titles, though, has kind of lost what it is.
Final Fantasy 15 is drastically different than some of the other. Like how about this? 13 was drastically different from everything that before. Mm-hmm. 15 is drastic from
13, right?
Yes. And then 7 Remake is a step in 15's path, but it's not crazy out of the way. But I wouldn't mind seeing a game deviate a little further from 15 and 7 Remake, because I enjoyed 15 and Remake.
Yep.
I think those directions for what a modern Final Fantasy could be is good.
Right.
I wouldn't, like, obviously.
Do you think we see Final Fantasy 16 between July and August?
There's got to be something. It's still too early.
Something, but do you think it's Final Fantasy 16?
Yeah, hell yeah.
You think so?
I'm saying like they're going to announce it. They're going to have some demo of it maybe already.
I almost think we see Final Fantasy 16 at the Game Awards.
You think at the end of this year?
Yeah, after a new console launch and then release the information about it. Because if you think about it, every Final Fantasy usually gets announced way too early.
Yeah.
Just like way too early.
But,
I mean,
you know, but here's the thing, though. Like, it's been...
Yeah, that's true. How many years since 15?
I think 15 came out in 2014, so it's been five...
I bet they had their major team working on the Final Fantasy VII remake.
True, but like that's been in the works for over 10 at that time. So
yeah, it's you're right, but I don't know. Maybe we see a Dragon Quest instead. Well, they have so many big
especially
titles.
Especially since the way that 11 ended.
Yeah.
You know, they I wouldn't be surprised.
The world ends with you too. I mean, they just announced the anime.
That's true.
For whatever reason, they're promoting the hell out of
it. Yeah, they're definitely going for something there.
Maybe Kingdom Hearts 4. Okay.
Or if anything, they might be trying to do the fucking the. Oh no! You didn't, I forgot the title of that game.
The Melody.
Well, no, that. But no. What the game? The series you just said in terms of what. Like for Kingdom Hearts 3, I mean Kingdom Hearts 4, the fucking isn't The World Ends With You the...
Oh, the tie-in to... Yeah.
I forgot that's the same thing for a second. That's why I was stumbling.
Yep. They have to have something, though, because do we really know anything that... I mean, they have the Crystal Chronicles remaster coming out this year.
We already know that's coming out.
Right. But do we know anything else, like, specifically that's, like, any big titles Square's working on? Like,
not really.
We don't really know what their next big title is, right?
I follow them and on Twitter and stuff, and, like, they haven't said much at all.
Yeah. I don't know. Does that mean they're not going to place this in a part of an event? Do you think they hold their own event?
No, solely for the fact that I feel like they would have just said yes to when they
you
got,
think so
when they got asked.
I think the problem is if you say yes, you almost tie yourself down. Where if you say no, you can still push it. You can push it even further than August if you want.
Yeah, you're right. Because they said individually from July to August, like that is tying them down.
Yeah, yeah. I'm questioning what we see and when we see it. Like, is it part of another person's event? Is it their own event?
How about this? Say. I wouldn't be surprised if they lead with maybe a new project.
Yeah.
Like something like a new IP that we haven't seen before.
When do you think they start teasing the second part of Final Fantasy VII?
I'd say more like I'd say to me that seems like an end of the year thing. And not,
really?
Yeah.
I think that's so far away. Cuz think about it, they just released part 1.
Yeah, but like people were teased. Yeah, but when did the tech demo like the official demo thing was at the end of 15 or no, what game had it? Oh no. When they re-released the Mastered 7.
Okay.
They added the extra movie, which was the opening shot of the remake. Okay. That was in like 2016 or 2017. The tech demo thing, whatever, that has been around since 2006.
I don't know what the tech demo
so
means.
So, like, when the PS3 was launching, they did a
tech
demo.
Oh, weren't they originally going to make a remake, and then they decided not to?
No. They were just taking an old title to show what a shitty-looking 3D character would look like with PS3 graphics.
Yep.
People thought that was a remake back then.
Yep.
So people have just been asking them every year, is there going to be a remake, to the point where they said, all right, fine, we'll give you one.
Right.
So I think now, because it's gained so much traction in a way, they're not going to... Like they're gonna, I think that's such big news because people bought it so fast.
Right.
That 16.
I don't think they have enough time. That's the issue. I don't think they have enough time to even make anything to show at the end of this year.
They might not have anything to show, but they should definitely say it's coming.
Oh, we know it's coming. It says that at the end of the game. The original story will continue.
I'm saying have a pretty definitive timeline.
Yeah. I don't think they want to put a timeline because that's what screws them.
Yeah. No, I know. I mean, I think. What I'm thinking is between July and August, they're going to start with a new project. And then
I agree. Halfway, I just want to know what it is.
No, I know. I don't know. No, what I'm saying, but like halfway through
yep.
it'll be a drag. Then maybe drag. I think like, they'll save Dragon Quest for
when,
the middle.
Yeah. When was the last Dragon Quest 11? Technically, 2018.
Yeah, or 2017.
Because the even the one we played is actually an enhanced port.
Yeah.
So maybe it is.
It was on the 3DS, right?
Didn't you say it was on? No, it was a PS4 game. Then they had a 3DS version as well. And then the newest version is the Nintendo Switch.
I thought the 3DS version was first.
No. PS4. Oh. I think the PS4 and the 3DS are simultaneously.
Gotcha. All right.
And then the Nintendo 3DS one definitely came out years after, or a year after.
Yeah.
Fun fact, it's also the first game ever announced for the Nintendo Switch.
Was it really?
Back when it was called the Nintendo NX.
Oh, wow.
So we didn't even know the name of the new Nintendo platform, and they were already announcing it.
Yeah, you're right. The
PS4 and the 3DS were simultaneously.
July 29th, 2017. And then Microsoft got it in September.
For Steam, probably.
Yeah, on 2018.
Yep.
And then Nintendo got it September of 2019.
Yeah, and that's the 3DS version. But the Switch version.
I think at the end of August, whenever they're done with their list, the last game is going to be 16.
You think so?
100%.
They're
going to save that shit for the end.
I will believe it if I see a big event, like if Sony, because I feel like they would announce it at a Sony event because it's more Sony based.
Yeah.
I don't think we should see it at a Microsoft event for sure. They're just always bad with JRPGs. unless if they for sure start like, hey, like we're having our Square Enix event, they're throwing their own live event.
Yeah.
Then I'm like, all right, we're either getting a Dragon Quest, Final Fantasy 16. Or even at least just a title splash of what the remake. Because what are you going to call the second part of?
Part two.
Do you?
Why not?
So remake
just,
part two.
Yeah, keep it consistent. Whatever it is, don't do a Rambo where you know it's like just called First Blood.
Yeah.
The second one was called Rambo First Blood Part Two, and then the third one was called Rambo 3. Don't do shit like that.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what they do next because I'm so confused. I'm so confused.
It's a great game, man.
Fallout TV series from Westworld creators based on games in works at Amazon with series commitment by Nelly Andreeva and Denise Petsky. The worldwide best-selling game franchise Fallout is headed to television via Prime Video. Following months of deal-making, Amazon Studios has licensed the rights to the games for Jonathan Nolan and Lisa Joy to develop a TV adaptation, which has received a series commitment. This marks the first major project to come out of Westworld creators/executive producers' big overall deal with Amazon Studios. The duo's Kilter Films is producing Fallout alongside Bethesda Games Studios and Bethesda Softworks. Prime Video and Bethesda just posted a short Easter egg video teasing the project. The Fallout franchise has posted a record sales and received dozens of Game of the Year awards, while its mobile game Fallout Shelter has been downloaded more than 170 million times.
Is it the best-selling game franchise? Is that just like a throwaway line, or is that real?
The Fallout franchise has posted record sales and received dozens of Game of the Year awards, while its mobile game Fallout Shelter...
No, I saw that. I'm saying like the first sentence said the best-selling game franchise. That's why I was best-selling
game franchise... Why best-selling game franchise? Maybe
is that true? For
yeah,
Fallout?
Maybe. I mean, it is a super old franchise.
True.
The best game. I would think it'd be like Mario.
See, that's what I would think too. Because there's a bajillion games and they all sell a million copies.
Yeah. Or Call of Duty, right? Wouldn't you expect Call of Duty to be probably the best?
Well, like I mean, Call of Duty 1, 2, and 3. Do you remember those?
Yes, because 3 came with the Xbox 360.
It was three was on the Wii too. That port was awful.
All right, so yeah, we're idiots. Pokemon, Mario, Call of Duty. I'm not even seeing it on the list.
No, we're not idiots. Fucking Nelly Andreeva and Denise Petsky are for saying that.
Well, they might mean something else.
Oh, well, then write something else. Not best selling.
The worldwide best selling game franchise, Fallout. I don't know. I'd have to. Maybe I clipped it at a bad part, the story. I mean, I just clipped the stories, you know?
Yeah.
That's what all the dots mean is we're skipping paragraphs. This is going to be an easy adaptation to do, I think.
Yeah.
There's no actual main characters.
No, and it's like... So you can,
it's all creative characters.
Yeah, you can make whoever you want.
It's all going to be lore-based.
Yeah, and it's just post-apocalyptic shit.
Exactly.
We've seen it before.
A million times. This is why I'm like, all right, I get it, because it's going to obviously bring
this,
fans
this
in.
Comes down to, again, how good the character building is, like how good the characters are. If we like
them... And people
them,
love them, the world and characters in that game.
No,
so if you put Easter eggs of like... special important characters in,
just make Vault Boy a real boy.
Hey, you joined Smash Bros. Now he's got an Amazon show.
Wait, is he like an actual playable character in Smash
he's
Bros?
One of those enhanced Mii costumes.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, okay.
I just like, I don't know, this story does not get me super excited. I love the fact that more video game franchises are being turned into shows.
Hell yeah.
We have so many in works right now.
It's in, but like for good reason. For, you know what I mean? Because like some of these stories are really good.
Right. They butcher them sometimes.
Yeah.
Believes the Sonic movie is like one of the only films eligible for an Oscar. So we got something going there.
Sonic really does save the day, man. Everyone who hates, all the Sonic fans should have like, they're praying to their God right now. You know what I mean?
How big of a hit do you think this is? Do you think it makes a splash? Amazon Prime is tough. I don't really see many of their shows hit it big time.
How about this? The biggest show, like when everyone talks about Amazon Prime, the only show I really hear is The Boys.
Really? You don't hear about The Marvelous Miss Maisel over the hell it's called? Because that's like their biggest show.
Like I know
Emmy Award winning show.
I know about it. I've heard one person talk about it to me. I've heard a bunch of people talk about how much they love The Boys.
Well, The Boys is more of our demographic.
True. But like, but that's the thing.
Yeah.
So like, you know, if I hit more of their audience, I would hear about people talking about it. But so here's the thing: if it's even mentioned to me in the same regard as either of those shows, then it's gonna be like I'm gonna know it's one of their only good shows.
Right. Right. But well, even for Hulu, I have a tough time saying any of their original series.
I don't know if I can name an original series from Hulu.
Handmaid's Tale.
I haven't seen it.
But you
I know it, but I don't know if it's
other than that. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Netflix is pretty much the only one who's been hitting big with the exclusive
but
series.
All their shit is good.
No, there's some shit ones I've watched on them.
Almost
Queer
all
Eye is still my favorite. Queer Eye and Stranger Things.
Yeah.
And then The Witcher, TA. Watch the goddamn Witcher.
Don't worry, like 3 years from now, I'll watch it.
When you finally watch it, if it's in 2 years, don't even bother telling me. Leave me alone at that point. Just leave me alone.
You know what, man? Whenever if you decide that we still want to do this, at some point, like after whoever.
Oh, this podcast will never die. It's like
when
Fallout 76. I'm coming right out of the chamber.
When I come back, I'll finally be like, all right, I finally watched The Witcher, pal. I took my time off being a dad again to watch just solely The Witcher.
Yes, I can't believe you haven't watched it because I know it's something you love too.
I just felt no immediate attachment to it just because I've never like I've seen
the time bending they do with you too when you realize what's happening halfway and you realize yo they have been fucking with me this whole series. It's so brilliant. It honestly is.
Maybe I'll start that right after Megaloboxing.
Oh, it's so good. All right, and that's it for the news. We'll take a short little break and get to our big discussion topic. All right, and we're back with our big discussion topic. For the big discussion topic, it's the end of an era. It's TA's last episode.
I don't know why you made this topic. There's really
just
because there's
much nothing
to
talk about. I've got a couple questions for you.
Okay.
First off, when we started this, what did you think? Do you think we'd do it? Do you think it would happen?
Like we talked about it. We joked about it. I was like, oh, we're not gonna. You bought mics. I was like, okay, we're a little serious now.
We bought the beautiful tripods that lasted for like a good 10 episodes.
No, the tripods came with the mic.
Oh my god, that's right.
And we put them way too far away from our faces.
Yep, we learned
way
that
too
the hard
far.
Way.
I was looking into the settings. Turns out the mic goes in your face.
Being a couple nobodies who talked way too long for 2 hours with audio that was not being picked up clearly.
Yeah, don't listen to the early episodes. You can't hear it.
But no, how about this? I didn't think we were going to make it to 42.
Yeah, what did you expect? Like, honestly, were you like...
I remember you were like, let's just do it so it doesn't feel fun anymore. I thought maybe like after like 12, 13, you were probably like, I could go a week without it. Like, I feel like once we said that...
Yeah,
that would be the end of it. You know what I mean? Because like, you know, if you skip it, it's like going to the gym. You skip a week, it's like taking off a month. And then, but no, we made it. We made it this far.
We made it this far.
Realistically, if my kid wasn't being born, we would
fix that for you.
It's too late now, man. We would have made a straight shot all the way. No, you just leave her on the firehouse doorstep. Yeah. Your dad knows a few guys. Yeah,
no, I can fix that for you.
We would have made a straight shot to 52, but hey, whoever you pick next, they're gonna have a good.
So close.
Hey, I got 11 episodes in on the After Hour Nerd podcast. Do you plan on this thing going to 500 like some of the big ones like
God because well, what would that be? That would be technically almost
like
10 years, right? If you think about it, almost 50 episodes per year.
Yeah.
So about 10 years.
Like happens like you know like Tom and his wife they're like the.
I'll be shocked if I get to 100. If
you,
I can.
You don't think you're gonna burn like you think you're gonna burn out at 100?
I don't know if I'll burn out. I don't, but I. Because I don't do this for a living. I don't make any money from it. It's all for fun.
What are you talking about? Anchor pays us a hefty fee.
Bajillions of dollars. Bajillions
of cents.
Yeah.
Bajillions of cents.
We have made enough to make 3 iced coffees. Dunkin' Donuts iced coffees.
If that's not a victory, I don't know what
else. No, I love it. But no, I do it for fun. So if obviously work, my girlfriend comes first. Yeah. All those real life comes first. If it was taking up too much time for that stuff, I would drop it immediately.
Yeah, of course.
But I would still do the normal nerdy things I do, enjoy my life. Of course. But I would cut this out, and this would alleviate, because this probably takes 8 to 9 hours a week of work.
We Jesus Christ, fucking cats, man. We realistically started like this because like we couldn't catch up all the time.
Yeah.
But like we always had a lot of shit to say.
Yeah.
So we were like, you know what? Let's just it was just a guaranteed way to make sure I could hang out with my buddy. I say buddy loosely.
Loosely. Yeah. No, I'll edit that out. Don't worry.
You're also an asshole.
What do you think you'll miss the most about this?
Definitely reading what shit you have to say about me in the descriptions. Of
so not
episode.
Seeing me each week. I get you.
Yeah.
You son of a bitch.
Like I said, you're an asshole.
I'm surprised. I think it was like week 14. You're like, hey, I didn't know you were writing about me in the description.
The only reason I knew is because my girlfriend pointed it out. And she was like, you know, he's talking shit about you every time. Right? And I was
every
like,
time. That's my goal.
I was like, what do you mean? And
sometimes during the episode, I'll start writing the notes down for what I think. Yeah.
Or always like, I hope you give up. I'm tired of hearing what you're playing. He's a board of friends.
I'm just here to lift us both up. What do you think? What do you wish you could have done differently from the start? That if you might know now that you didn't know when you started, or
probably
put the mic closer to our fucking faces.
That was a big one. But honestly, the problem. Like I know in the beginning we had like different bits that we tried to do.
Yep.
But like. Sometimes, I think what I would have done differently is my home life with my son, just so that way he wouldn't have been so messed up sleep-wise, so that way I could have put him down and then have like found the time to each night to do the things we were supposed to do rather than me like trying to do it in one night because either he was being uncooperative or like
I could have fixed asleep. That problem for you too. Yeah. All right?
Put him on the firehouse doorstep. You know, like that's the thing. You know, he's broken. We're gonna bring him in for a new model. You know what I mean?
I'm telling you, I could have.
He was the test
run
trial for what's gonna be my good.
Yeah,
run.
We'll see. Fingers crossed.
Again, this would be the worst time if this was the one my girlfriend decided to listen to again.
What do you wish we together would have improved on the podcast more or done differently?
Maybe use our real names to get more people to listen.
No, I like it. In fact, the people who do know our real names that do this, it feels like a Spider-Man 2 moment. You know, when he saves the train and they hand him his mask back. And they're like, don't worry, Spidey. We won't. That's us.
Yeah, we won't tell you. We won't tell. But it is funnier how, like, I'll see more guys we know and they're like, yo, I heard about the podcast. Yeah. I was like, how? And they're like, oh. D. Weiland told us.
Yeah.
And they're like, yo, we can't wait to listen every week. And I'm like, don't be too excited.
It's just okay.
This is a low-tier podcast. We appreciate the sentiment, but we know what we're worth.
It's just okay.
We're really good at being okay. We should have just called it the Mediocre Podcast.
Oh, there were a bunch of names, dude. I had so many.
I will say, I do want to. I do like of the new cover art you just did. I do want to get T-shirts made for that. I feel like that'd be dope as fuck.
I gotta work on that a little bit. I'm still like fine tweaking
like,
it.
I will pay for T-shirts.
But I wanted to make sure. I wanted to first off take our faces off of it because you. I don't know for the next couple of weeks.
It wouldn't be right. If I'm not gonna be the host.
Well, it's just like weird to put our faces on it and then. I don't know, try to move this podcast in a direction where it's like a free-flowing
thing. There's the universe.
Yeah.
We've already established
this cinematic universe. Yeah.
D-Wiling was on here one episode.
Now he's dead. We don't know. all right. Take anything you've learned from this podcast with you.
What have I learned?
Nothing, right? Said it before. We didn't learn anything.
No.
When it was like, hey, this is week 30.
And we learned the mics really close to our face.
Any big discussion topics that you thought of before that now we can't talk about on the podcast now that you're gone?
Oh, like what do you mean?
Were there any big discussion topics that we didn't get to that you wish we could have covered?
I couldn't even possibly tell you that because we were scrapping every week. I think after like week 20, we're like, all right, it's getting a little difficult. Week 30, we're like, why are we still doing
it? Yeah, it was tough.
Oh, man. Did we do, how many Mount Rushmores did we do?
We did the video game character Mount Rushmore.
Did we ever do an anime Mount Rushmore?
No,
maybe that one.
I think we have very small anime topics. The Mount Rushmores are always tough to me.
I know, but
the problem is they're very divisive, and that's the good thing.
They're divisive and they're fun.
Yeah,
because it's interesting to see why.
That is one of my favorite episodes we did with the.
Actually, you know what? I think the one thing I didn't regret is that we didn't get to do the episode with Zom.
Oh, I'm trying to get her on. I'm trying to figure it out. The one website I thought I had for her,
Zencastr?
We needed an account to do more than two people.
Yeah.
It's tough. I wanted her on so bad to, like, first off, I listen to her Anime Summit podcast all the time.
Yeah.
So if she would have guessed on the podcast, that would have been cool. Yeah, that would have been.
Well, it sucks is like we had our shot episode 9, but we couldn't figure it out.
Couldn't figure it out no matter how hard. And then I even tried with OBS and everything when we had to do the curfew cast episode. And we were stuck at home, and I got us to be able to record an episode.
Curfew cast, that's good. I like that.
So I got it to work, but it would only work with two people. I tried to get the OBS originally, if you remember.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get that. Remember that? It took us like an hour to even set it up.
Oh, my God.
Are you going to continue gaming now that the podcast is over? Like, because before you started the podcast, you had kind of taken a light break.
Yeah.
I'll say light break because you had just finished a bunch of Kingdom Hearts games.
Yeah, I burned through a lot of those, but like I was still trying, like, you know, the thing about trying to find time for gaming when you have like a newborn baby to 1-year-old is that there's no consistent schedule until they start sleeping more than, like, say, 5 hours or so.
Yeah.
So like trying to find a consistent time was difficult.
Yeah.
So like, you know, but
now you're going to have two, so plenty of time now. You just put them together and they occupy each other.
One kid on my arm and I'm like, well, I control in my hand, I'll be all right.
Have the older one take care of the younger one. It's like the Shroot family.
Dude, he's getting so smart. He'll be ready soon.
I don't think so. He's your son. I've never thought you were that smart.
All you've told me my whole life is that I'm an underachiever.
You are. You could have done so many great things with your life.
But I had no direction, and you weren't giving me any. You're like, you could do engineering. I'm like, no, I can't.
I told you not that. I told you what you were doing was not.
You're like, Calculus 5 is not meant for you, pal.
But continue gaming, watching.
I'm like,
because even anime, you took a little break out of, and it seems like you got back into. And movies.
I think anime and TV shows are going to be the thing I get to most. I don't know. Like, I'm gonna, like, my plan is to hopefully beat Grandia before my daughter is born.
No fucking chance.
See, the problem is like. See, this is the reason I don't like playing games that I don't
There's
know.
No chance.
Because I don't know where I am in terms of the story. Yeah. I'm 24 hours in. I feel like I have to be at least halfway through.
When we looked it up, it said 40 hours.
See, yeah, but like, and I feel like story wise, I'm like we're almost.
Unless they rush like the last hour.
See, that's what I'm wondering what's happening. It's like, it feels like there's like three acts to the play.
Yep.
And I feel like I'm in the third act.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, if we're looking, if there's 40 hours, I'm still 15 hours away. So like, I don't even know.
Yeah, you might have to give up on that dream.
I'm hoping to be Grandia before the kid is born, and then when the kid.
Because what's the due date?
Like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then hopefully, when the kid grows up a little bit, and I get to get like just whenever I find the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because I, you know, trying to juggle two kids is going to be fun.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to start grand.
A lot of people recommend it.
I'm going to leave it to a poll. I'm gonna poll it because I want to know.
Are you going to keep the Twitter?
I'm going to keep the Twitter.
Are you going to keep the Twitter?
Do I start Grandia 2?
Yep.
Or do I start Yeez, whatever.
Yeez 8?
Yeez 8, because I did buy that and everyone loves it.
Yep.
So I'm wondering which one do I go to first.
Or you borrow, what is that? The Trials of Steel, or whatever the hell it is.
Oh, Trials of Cold Steel 3? Yeah, but that person on your Twitter said don't start unless you played the first two.
Don't believe anything you read on the internet.
Do you remember the Lemony Snicket series and series of unfortunate events?
Yep.
I started that series on book 6, and I was like, I know exactly what's going on. I know all I need to know.
It was a series of unfortunate events that happened before that one, and they just continued.
I went 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7. Perfect. However you numbered sequence should go.
Yeah, you're an idiot. You're right. I take it back. You had no direction.
You're no underachiever. You're an overachiever being dumb.
All right, so now that you're heading out, and I am taking next week off, there's no way I can get an episode in next week. And then I will return the next week. So the podcast isn't over. It'll continue. What would you like to see? Because, of course, you're going to be our biggest fan, I imagine.
Dude, you don't understand the thrill I have of being able to listen to
this
podcast.
There's no shot you listen.
I'm listening every week.
I'll give you the first two episodes and then you'll fall off.
There is something so enjoyable knowing that I'm not, I can listen to this and it's not with my fucking awful voice on here.
Oh, yeah. That's when I have to do the editing.
Edit, yeah.
That's my like least favorite time, just hearing myself go. And it's like, wow, this guy sounds like an idiot.
I stopped listening to our podcast forever ago because I was like, I don't need to listen to myself just talk like shit.
I have to hear it when I do the editing, and then I put on the podcast for like 3 minutes when it's up just to make sure the audio is okay.
Yeah.
And I hate it the entire time. So anything you'd like me to incorporate to the podcast, you think, now that it...
Here's the thing. If you get D. Weiland...
Yeah. Your brother.
The younger, more talented you. I feel like he will also find a way to slip on if you try to bring some of the old bits back. I would love if you...
I don't want to do any of the old bits. I hate signing more work.
If you do...
It sounded fun and like a good idea in the beginning.
I think if you just limit it to shows or movies or something, it'd be all right.
No, it's tough.
If you get the other top candidate, I think it'd be fun for him.
Yeah.
Or at least just do it to him.
So here's my thought, is if we do that, it's you who watches it, because you said that'll be, and then you send us a paragraph each week.
Okay.
And then that would be the TA father write-in.
I was going to say, you did want to incorporate that.
Yeah, yeah.
Where I give
you
a brief.
Update us on the father life every week.
Yeah.
See how long you live.
Dude, if the rate coronavirus is going the way we just talked about the whole house situation, I'm going to be biting the rope real soon.
Yeah, it's tough. All right. TA, last time you get to sign off.
It's been a pleasure. Who knows? Maybe if Gags hasn't disbanded it.
I'm going to keep it going as long as I can, baby.
Goonies never say die.
Yeah, right? That's right.
The universe, you know, unless podcast Thanos comes and gives the snap, we're not going anywhere, right?
Listen, you couldn't kill me if you tried, all right?
I could do this all day. yeah, I know.
No, listen, I spent so much time drawing the new cover art, there's no way I'll let it just die.
tomorrow you're like, I just don't feel like it anymore.
Even if I got to drag my girlfriend on and explain to her the stories that she won't understand or care about.
I still want to start the After Hour Nerd spinoff podcast where it's your girlfriend and my girlfriend who get drunk on wine and they just start talking shit.
She wouldn't talk shit about me. All right?
No, I'm not talking about us. I'm just talking about they start talking shit. Because your girlfriend is hilarious when she's drunk. And I know my girlfriend is hilarious when she's drunk. So I feel like putting them together would create some kind of drunk chaos.
It would be problems. I don't want to get her drunk and put her on a podcast. That's for sure. I'll tell you what. I bet next episode we do will be an episode with my girlfriend. We'll probably do for the big discussion topic. 120 days with Animal Crossing. I wanted to do 90 days.
That would be fun, though.
Yeah, and go over the first 120 days with that game out.
Yeah.
I think that's what I'm going to aim to do. I wanted to do 90 days, but then I did the math out in my head.
Yeah.
And it's already been 90 days. I don't think it's going to be 120 days, but it's going to be closer to 120 days.
Yeah.
I'd have to actually do the math. But if I call it 115 days with Animal Crossing, people are like, who gives a shit? And it's me 115?
Too. 115? What a fucking idiot.
109 days with Animal Crossing. So that's the plan. That's what's going to happen. We're taking a week off. Death by Clams. Don't you worry, buddy. We'll be back stronger than ever. We dropped the dead weight.
Yeah, man. remember, TA sounds dead inside whenever he talks. Hopefully you guys get more.
My girlfriend sent me a clip of her listening to it, and it was you talking, and she was like so monotone. And you were reading a story, and you were just like, and then the dog went over.
If you were I'm telling you, it depends. And if I hear the stomping from upstairs and I know she's not having a good night, because then I'm not having a good night, because I know because I'm not having a good morning. You know what I mean? So I'm just preparing for the
sounds like you deserve it. That's all I'm
eventual
hearing.
Dread I know is coming my way.
TA, sign us out one more time. I might even clip this and use it forever.
Ah, man. Thank you for listening to the After Hour Nerds podcast. You can follow us at Agent Podcast Gags and at Agent Podcast TA.
For now, we don't know.
For now, that's subject to change. You know, but we'll keep you posted on that. Gags will keep you posted on that. And thank you very much for listening. It has been a pleasure.